Sea trips bring in a spiritual catch. Sea trips were arranged each year to preach to people on the quays and in villages along the coast. Such villages as Hopkins, Saint Bite, Placencia, and Punta Negra, as well as Monkey River Town, were inaccessible by land at the time. Polito Bevins captained his lobster boat in the off-season and took four pioneers and missionaries on a two-week trip from north to south, stopping at every place along the way. Donald Nibruji, who participated frequently in the annual bush and sea trips, remembers with fondness the time they borrowed Ambrosio Hernandez's sailboat for a sea trip. As a result, Ambrosio, affectionately known as Bocho, began to study the Bible. The following year, four of us planned a two-week sea trip all down the coast, recalls Donald, but by this time, Bocho had sold his boat. He recommended another fisherman, who was willing to take us, along with his partner and Bocho. There we were, two special pioneer couples with these three fishermen. During that trip, Bocho started in field service. When we got to Placencia Harbor, there were a lot of yachts moored there. So we preached from yacht to yacht. The two unbelievers were very supportive during those 2 weeks. One day when we returned after preaching all day in a village, the two fishermen had bought chicken and cooked a meal for us on a little kerosene stove. By the time of the next sea trip the following year, Bocho was baptized. He has been serving as an elder in Belize City for the past 18 years. Unassigned territory produces good fruit. Toledo District in southern Belize is an area of rolling hills and dense rainforest, peppered with Mopan and Quechi Maya villages of thatched roof houses with dirt floors. For the most part, the villagers lead hard lives doing heavy farm work with simple hoes. During dry spells, they have to carry water to the fields by hand to grow corn, beans, and cacao. Many of the women do traditional Quechi embroidery and make baskets for the souvenir shops throughout the country. Increasing numbers of young people are leaving the villages to study or work in the more populated centers of the country. In 1995, Frank and Alice Cardosa were invited to serve as temporary special pioneers during April and May to help distribute Kingdom News No. 34. Why is life so full of problems? In the Toledo District. I had taken part in one of the annual bush trips in this area, recalls Frank, and I saw that the Maya people could be better helped to learn the good news if someone would move into the area. The branch recommended that I rent a place to stay, start a Bible study group, and give the special talk in San Antonio. We were to distribute the Kingdom News there, as well as in eight other villages. The Cardosas conducted a weekly group study in their rented one-room basement, and within a few weeks, three to four families started attending. These interested ones also joined the Cardosas for their hour-long drive in a well-worn pickup truck on a rutted dirt road to Punta Gorda for the Theocratic Ministry School and service meeting. That first month, Frank delivered the special talk in San Antonio. Jesus Ich, one of those attending for the first time, paid rapt attention. As a member of the Nazarene Church, he was particularly impressed to learn that the teaching of hellfire is rooted in paganism and that the biblical hell is the common grave. He took Frank aside after the meeting, plying him with more questions on the subject. As a result, he began to study the Bible and was baptized a year later. At the end of their two-month assignment as temporary special pioneers, the Cardosas had to make an important decision. "We had started many studies," remembers Frank. "More than we could handle. Our hearts and consciences just wouldn't let us go back to our comfortable house in Ladyville. If we decided to stay in San Antonio, we could have better living conditions by renting the upstairs of the house we were in rather than the basement. I could install a little sink, a water gutter to pick up rainwater, and, in time, maybe a flush toilet and electricity." We prayed to Jehovah about it, confident that with his blessing a congregation could be formed in this area. Then we wrote to the branch, informing them that we were willing to stay in San Antonio as regular pioneers. Jehovah's blessing on the Cardosa's decision was quickly apparent. Within just 6 months, in November, they held their first public meeting in their rented house. And by April of the following year, they began holding the Theocratic Ministry School and Service Meeting in San Antonio. How relieved the little group was not to have to make the weekly 40-mile round trip to Punta Gorda for the meetings. His threats could not stop me. The group of sincere Bible students in San Antonio soon began to progress, and their love for the truth was truly moving. In these villages, explains Frank, the women in particular are very shy, and by tradition they are submissive to their fathers and husbands. It is not their custom to talk to strangers. It was very difficult for them, therefore, to participate in the door-to-door ministry. Priscillian Cho, who was 20 years old at the time, was an unbaptized publisher who really wanted to preach to her neighbors in the area. On one occasion, Priscillian was making some return visits with a sister-in-law, Amalia Cho, when they suddenly faced a crisis. Priscillian remembers, "I hadn't told my father I was going out to preach publicly because he had forbidden me to do it, and I was afraid of him. That Sunday morning when we were out preaching, we suddenly saw my father in front of the Baptist church he attended. At first, we crouched in the grass because we didn't want him to see us. But then I said, 'You know, Amalia, Jehovah's watching us. It's not right for us to be afraid of my father. It is Jehovah we must fear.'" Priscillian's father was furious. But an even bigger issue lay ahead because he was violently opposed to her becoming one of Jehovah's Witnesses. After praying about the matter until the day before the assembly where she was to be baptized, Priscillian finally mustered up the courage to tell her father. "Tomorrow," she said to her father, "I'm going to Belize City." "What are you going to do?" he inquired. "I'm going to be baptized," replied Priscillian. "I'm going to do what Jehovah wants me to do. I love you, but I have to love Jehovah too." "Are you really going to do that?" he responded angrily. "Yes," said Priscillian. "Acts 5:29 says I must obey God rather than man." Priscillian's father stormed off in a rage. "I didn't feel safe until I was in the truck, ready to leave for the assembly," she recalls. "I didn't know what he would do when I came home after the assembly. But I knew that by then I would be baptized. So even if he killed me, I would have done what was right." Although Priscillian's father did not harm her when she got home, he later threatened to kill her. "But he saw that his threats could not stop me," she says, "and since then he has softened toward me." The following is from pages 235 and 236 of the printed edition.
Maya, who loved Jehovah. Jorge and Nicolás Cho. Born 1969 and 1971. Baptized 1997. Background. Maya tradition stresses respect and complete obedience to parents, even from married adults. When Nicolás and Jorge came to know and love Jehovah, their father adamantly opposed their Christian activities. "I explained to my father that I was learning beneficial things," says Nicolás, "but he was a member of the Baptist church, and he didn't share my enthusiasm. I quit my Bible study a few times because I didn't want to hurt his feelings. But I also knew that by getting drunk with my father, I was not setting a good example for my children. My wife and children were so unhappy that they never smiled. Once I began studying the Bible and attending Christian meetings regularly, the truth helped me to break free from bad conduct. I worked hard for my family, and they got the full benefit of my income. Now, as a family, we are busy in Jehovah's service, and there is happiness and laughter in our house." Jorge's situation was much the same. His drunkenness and bad language caused problems for his family, and he was never at home on the weekends. But his study of the Bible resulted in a marked improvement in his conduct. "As I progressed," Jorge relates, "my father became more opposed. He called us false prophets. More than once, he threatened us with his machete. Brother Cardosa, with whom I was studying the Bible, had tried to prepare us much earlier. 'Suppose your father tells you to leave the family property,' he asked us. 'My father loves me,' I explained, 'and he won't do that.' But sadly, that is exactly what he did. Nevertheless," continues Jorge, "I loved what I was learning, and my life was improving. My family was benefiting from my new Christian personality. We respected one another and were happy together. Today, the preaching work brings me much joy, and thanks to Jehovah, I am a regular pioneer. Returning to the account.
An opposer takes sides with Jehovah. The newly formed group of zealous publishers in San Antonio was prospering spiritually when the Cardosas were suddenly informed in a letter from the local village council that they should leave San Antonio. Earlier, when he paid an application fee, Frank had obtained permission from the council to stay in the village. Now, a prominent member of the village was intent on having the Cardosas chased out. At one of the council meetings, three of Frank's Bible students spoke in his behalf. Then Frank's landlord spoke up, warning the council that if they evicted the Cardosas, they would have to pay the rent the Cardosas had been paying him. Frank himself then presented a letter from the lands department stating that a person renting privately owned property could not be asked to leave. In the end, the council granted the Cardosas permission to stay. The man who had wanted the Cardosas evicted was Basilio A., a former alcalde, or chief, who was still prominent in politics. Basilio used his influence to oppose Jehovah's Witnesses in San Antonio in every way he could. When the little group wanted property to build a kingdom hall, he warned, "You'll never build a kingdom hall in this village." In spite of that, the brothers obtained property and built a modest and attractive kingdom hall. Amazingly, one of those at the dedication of the kingdom hall in December 1998 was Basilio. What had happened? Two of Basilio's married sons had been having family problems. Twice Basilio had asked his church to help his sons, and both times he had received no response. Then his sons started studying the Bible with Jehovah's Witnesses. Basilio's wife, Maria, began to notice that her sons were making changes for the better and that their family life was improving. So Maria herself asked to study the Bible with the Witnesses. "I really wanted to get to know Jehovah God," Maria says, "and I told my husband we should go to the Kingdom Hall to learn more about God." Although Basilio did not easily let go of his strongly held feelings against Jehovah's Witnesses and Frank Cardosa, whom he called that foreigner, he was impressed with the positive changes his sons were making as they applied Bible truths in their lives. Basilio decided to examine Jehovah's Witnesses for himself, and after a few discussions, whom did he agree to have as his Bible study conductor? None other than that foreigner, Frank Cardosa. "What I read in the Bible changed my mind," explains Basilio. "I had been a Catholic for 60 years, lighting incense before the idols in the church. Now what I was learning about Jehovah was in his own book, the Bible. I am ashamed of the way I acted with Frank Cardosa, who is now my brother. I'm not afraid to say that I was wrong. I was zealous for the things I believed were right for my village and my religion. But I stopped practicing the Maya traditions that have to do with spiritistic healing common in our villages. I also ended my involvement in the Maya political movements. Today, Basilio and Maria A. happily serve Jehovah as baptized publishers." Jehovah's servants are known for their loving, joyful, and zealous spirit. In remote regions of Belize, many publishers walk 3 hours or more up and down steep hills to reach householders, and they do not like to miss meetings. For example, one evening, Andrea Ich was assigned to be a householder on the Theocratic Ministry School. That day she had walked 2 or 3 miles through the jungle to pick avocados with her sons. In the process, she received 23 wasp stings. Nevertheless, she went home, prepared a meal for her family, went to the meeting, and handled her part on the program. Her face was swollen from the insect bites, but it was a happy face. It is always encouraging to see that although the dear Maya brothers and sisters may have traveled a whole day in a truck or bus to attend assemblies and conventions, They are delighted to be united in worshiping the true God, Jehovah. The following is from pages 238 and 239 of the printed edition.
Joyfully serving where the need is greater. Moving to a country where there is a need for more kingdom proclaimers is a big step. But remaining in a foreign field year after year often requires much effort and self-sacrifice. Many of our brothers and sisters have met these challenges with great fortitude and joy. Arthur and Roberta Gonzalez, for example, came from the United States to serve in Belize with their 3-year-old son, Dalton, in 1989. The biggest challenge, admits Roberta, was leaving a secure, well-paying job to live in a country where so many people are out of work. Yes, confirms Arthur, you have to trust in Jehovah. Reading in the Bible about Abraham, I'm amazed at how he went out from his home, family, and everything he knew. But Jehovah took good care of him. One challenge we faced was getting our ears tuned to Belize Creole, but we relied on Jehovah, and he took care of us. Frank and Alice Cardoza came from California in 1991 to pioneer in Belize. Reading the book of Acts, says Frank, made me want to be a missionary, but because we have 4 children, I knew we would never qualify for Gilead school, so when our youngest daughter finished her schooling, we saw the opportunity to move to another country. When we read in the Watchtower about Belize, we made up our minds. I agreed to try it for 3 years, says Alice. Now we've been here for 18 years and I love it. We love people and we love to work, adds Frank. So it's easy for us to draw close to those who love Jehovah. Starting more studies than we could handle and seeing people respond to the truth has made these the best years of our life. We would not give up this privilege for all the money in the world. Carl and Martha Simons moved from Texas to Belize in 1988. Our 2 children were 10 and 8 years old when we moved, says Martha. In Belize, we spent entire days preaching together with the congregation in villages in the bush. We also worked together on the construction of the assembly hall, and we always had a house full of brothers and sisters staying with us during the assemblies. We are grateful that we could raise our children here, because they associated with special pioneers and missionaries. Yes, there were times when we felt like getting on a plane and leaving, times without electricity, running water, batteries, and telephones. But if we had to do it again, with all the ups and downs, we would do it. Our lives have been enriched because of serving where the need is greater. Returning to the account.